In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. This is Palm Sunday, and I would like to direct our thoughts to all that is happening in the ceremony today. We see the Jews welcoming Christ into Jerusalem. He comes in as a king. They cry out, welcoming him, praising him as a king. But then, as we just heard read in the Passion, these same people are now crying out, away with him, crucify him. We have no king but Caesar. And I ask us not to point the fingers at the Jews and say, those terrible people. I ask you to consider ourselves. Where do we stand in this entire scenario? When Christ is multiplying bread and fishes and feeding us, when he's healing us of whatever is hurting us, when he's making us feel good, we want to cry out, Hosanna, the Son of David, welcome him, he is our king. But as soon as this king says, my kingdom is not of this world, you want to be my disciple, deny yourself, take up your cross, come, follow me. Then immediately we cry out, we have no king but Caesar. We want Caesar, who will give us bread and circus, who will appeal to all of our passions, our desires, fill us with pleasures and joys of this world. We don't want a king who is going to speak to us of a kingdom in eternity, who now promises us suffering, agony, a cross. This is not a king we want. And as I say, it's easy to point the finger at others, but truly we must begin to consider ourselves. Do we love God when it pleases us? Do we love God when there's something in it for us? When it makes us feel good? Do we embrace our prayers when we are filled with consolation and joy? Do we vote for Caesar because he brings us pleasure? Where is our love placed? Do we truly love God? Or is it more appropriate to say we only love ourselves? We only care about ourselves. We only serve God when there's something in it for us. And if there's nothing in it for us, we say away with him. Crucify him. We don't want a king like that. I think of St. Augustine's Confessions when he says, I have loved thee late, my God, but I love thee now, and I desire to love thee more and more every day. We can all look back upon this season of Lent that we've just experienced. Actually, we've got one more week left. And ask ourselves, how have I done? Can I say with St. Augustine, I have loved thee late, my God, but I love thee now? Do I truly love God now? No. Am I willing to serve God now? What am I going to do for God? Will I serve him selfishly? Will I love him selfishly? I often point out to young couples preparing them for matrimony. If you love someone for what you can get out of them, that is not love at all. If I ask you, why do you love this person? You will say, because this person makes me feel good. This person completes me. This person's chemistry matches my chemistry. It's all about me, 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 me. And I tell you, that is not love. That is selfishness. That is lust. True love sacrifices itself. True love denies itself. True love doesn't ask, what's in it for me? But what do I have to give? What can I give? What can I do? What can I sacrifice of myself for the one that I love? And love is given freely, not expecting anything in return. And I tell you, as soon as matrimony becomes keeping score, love is dead. I did this, now you owe me. You do this, and then I will do this for you. That is not love. And too often, I believe our love for God is expressed in exactly that same manner. We find a special novena, and we're going to say this novena, and God better deliver on our request as soon as we fulfill those obligations. Otherwise, we're not going to say this novena. If we didn't have faith, if we didn't believe that we were going to get something out of it, would we really say the novena? Would we really do these things that we imagine are the love that we have for God? I really love God. I really love the saints. I'm suffering a terrible difficulty in my life, so I'm going to make a novena to St. Jude. And St. Jude better deliver, or I'll never say another novena to St. Jude. He'll be just cut out of my life. And how many people come, "Oh, Your Excellency, I said this novena and I didn't get what I wanted." And I have to remind them, when you studied your catechism, when you were taught how to pray, I am almost certain that you were given the example of Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. When he prayed to his Father in heaven, "Father, if it is possible, take this cup from me. But not my will, thy will be done." Always we should pray with the resignation to God's holy will. And we must pray to him whether we get something out of it or not. How many times we say the rosary and think, "Well, that was a waste of time. I got nothing out of that." Or I struggle through the rosary and I think, "Oh, I got nothing out of it. My mind is distracted. I'm thinking about this, thinking about that, and I can't keep my mind on my prayers, so it is all useless. I got nothing out of it, so it was a waste." I said, were you praying to get something for yourself? Or were you praying as an act of love to God, to the Blessed Mother? Were you praying to receive, or were you praying to give? And I like to encourage people who are growing despondent with their prayer. They're growing weary, they're growing tired. Look at our Lord on the way to Calvary. He fell down and then he got up. He struggled. He, as St. Paul would say, "I fought the good fight." When prayer is difficult, that's when you need to pray the most. When life is hard, that's when you got to struggle. Don't give up. Get up and keep going. It is the devil who suggests to us, forget the prayers, forget the rosary, forget the novena, because you're not getting anything out of it. You're not doing anything good. And I tell you that God is more pleased with your struggle than if everything came easy. There's no merit in it if everything comes easy. It's easy to love your family, your neighbor, but Christ says, love your enemy. Love those who persecute you. Love those who hate you. Love those who are doing evil to you. Love them. For the pagans, those who do not believe in God, they love their families. They love their friends. They love their neighbors. If you do that, you're no different than the pagan. Christ says, I'm calling you to a higher level. I want you to love even when you get nothing out of it. And I thought long and hard during my seminary years, what is this thing called love? We have so many definitions of this one little word in our English language. But then I listened to St. John, the evangelist, who tell us, God is love. Deus caritas est. I turned to the Gospels and I listened to the words of Christ. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for the brethren. And I bring all of this together and I see that love is sacrifice. Love is self-denial. Love is taking up this daily cross. Not because we're going to feel good. Not because it fills our bellies, takes away all our pain. But even in spite of the fact that it increases our pain, increases our suffering, we embrace that cross. That is love. And this is what Christ is calling us to. And when I look at today's gospel, or the reading of the Passion today, I see ourselves there. Where do we stand? At the blessing of the palms, are we there welcoming Jesus? Everything is good. We can't wait till Easter and we can break our fast and we can have our candy and we can sing our hallelujahs and it'll be great. It will be fun. It will be pleasant and we can go home and have our whatever it is we have, our turkey, our ham, our nice breakfast, our nice dinner. It's all good. That's the kind of God we like. That's the kind of religion we want. A religion that we can go home and all feel good. In this Catholic faith, this is something completely strange. It looks like the bishop, he wants us to all go out of this chapel with our head hanging low, striking our breast and feeling miserable. Telling us we're terrible sinners. Telling us that we don't really love God. It's not quite what I'm telling you. I'm certain that you do have some love for God, otherwise you wouldn't be here right now. I'm telling you, your love is not enough yet. I'm telling you, you need to reach higher. You need to do better. And I say this not just to you, but to myself as well. We all need to do better. We all need to rise higher. We all need to love more. We need to perfect our love even more than we have before. And this Lenten season has been given to us for that purpose, to lift us up to a higher level of love, to a greater love where we are ready to sacrifice. We are ready to give of ourselves, not expecting anything in return, not keeping score, not keeping a tally. I think too often we as Catholics, we get hung up with our little prayer book and says, oh, we get so many indulgences for this prayer and so many for that prayer. I'm going to say this one and I'm going to gain all these indulgences. And we begin calculating. We begin bartering. We look for a religion that's going to make me feel good. What do I get out of it? I want to go to that church because they have a nice youth group. They have a social gathering. It will bring me pleasure. That's what you're looking for, religion. Then you're not following Christ. You're following yourself. You're following your passions. You're following your fallen nature. When we love God, We come to give, not so much to receive. And I am reminded of this really in the peace prayer of St. Francis of Assisi. It is in giving that we receive. It is in dying that we are born into eternal life. Let us not worry about what we're going to get back. God is not stingy. He's very generous. He's promised us eternal life in heaven. But to get that eternal life in heaven, He wants us to give something of ourselves here and now. What are you going to give? What are you going to sacrifice? And if I were to try and explain it monetarily, I know I just told you, let's not barter with God, let's not keep score, let's not keep track. But if I were to compare it monetarily, for every dollar I give God, He gives me $1 million in return. How much do you want to invest with God? $1? Say, I could do with $1 million. Would you be satisfied with that? You'd say, no, I want to give 2 or 3 or 4. Wait a minute, let me go to the bank and empty out my account. I want to give God everything that I have. That would be a wise investment, wouldn't it? Are you just going to invest with God a few cents? Because He promises you 100-fold? Or do you want to give Him everything? Now, if I take this to the supernatural, to the spiritual life, how much of my life do I want to give to God? How much of my love do I want to give to God? 1 minute of my time? 1 hour of my week? Is 1 day a week of enough of an investment? I think if you have more, then you should probably invest more, shouldn't you? You should give as much as you can. I will go even further and say you should give all that you have. Not just as much as you can or as much as you want, but to give everything. And what will I base this on? The greatest commandment. The first and the greatest commandment of God is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Not a little bit, not partway, not halfway, not three quarters, not 90%. How much love does God demand of us? All of it. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, with thy whole mind, with thy whole body, with thy whole soul. Everything. Heart, mind, body, soul, all that we have. That's what God demands of us. That is the love He expects of us. And we are fools if we think that, oh, I can give Him a little bit here, a little bit there, and that'll be good enough. That's not love. In my opinion, that's foolishness. Love is all or nothing. The bride and groom stands before God and gives themselves exclusively to each other and promises God that they're going to put up with each other, stay faithful to each other, no matter what. For richer or poorer, sickness or in health, until death do they part. They have to be willing to go all in. Bishop Sheen even wrote a book for married couples. It takes 3 to get married. Not just a man and a woman, but Christ. And if Christ doesn't enter the marriage, it's not going to be the best marriage possible. and each one must enter fully, give themselves completely. It's not 50-50. If you're only going to go halfway, your marriage isn't going to work. You want it to work, you have to give yourselves completely to each other. But before you can do that, you have to give yourself completely to God. If you don't belong to God, you can't belong to anyone else. You're still self-centered. And no matter what you promise with your lips, your heart is not in it. So when we stand here on Palm Sunday, we can all identify, I think, with the Jews as they welcome Christ in Jerusalem, laying down their garments and their palms, welcoming this King. But are we like these same Jews welcoming this King because we expect free food, free bread and fishes? We expect him to take care of us and fill our lives with joy and happiness and contentment, satiety. Is that what we're expecting of our King? Are we ready to accept Christ our King, who tells us to love him with all our being, who tells us we must be ready to sacrifice ourselves, we must be willing to die for the love of him? And after this dichotomy, this distinction settles into our hearts and minds, we will ask ourselves, how do we react? Once we come to the understanding that Christ demands our love be absolute, complete, will we say, away with him, away with him, we have no king but Caesar? Caesar promises us bread and circus. Caesar is going to promise us, what is that, a guaranteed income. Caesar is going to provide me with welfare, with health care. Caesar is going to make the roads nice and smooth so that when I go driving down the highway, it's easy for me. Caesar is going to take care of my health so that I don't have to take responsibility for my health. Caesar is going to make sure I have cheap food on my table, lots of snacks. And it becomes like a political arena. And too often we turn with the Jews in today's gospel and say, I vote for Caesar. I want Caesar to be my king. Away with this other one. We don't want this king of the Jews. Forget that. We don't want our own kingdom. We want to belong to the world. We want to belong to the devils, not to Christ. And herein, I think, is the most tragic part of the entire Passion. Yes, there's sympathy for Christ, but I think it is really a shocking, disturbing reality when we recognize ourselves crying out for Caesar, crying out, away with Jesus, away with the doctrine that he's teaching. We don't want him for our king. We don't love him. We don't want him. Kill him. Get rid of him. I don't even want to see him. I don't even want to think about him. Because when I see him, when I think about him, I'm reminded of my own sins. It doesn't feel good. It's not pleasant. And love really hurts. And if love hurts, I don't want love. I want Caesar. I want bread and circus. And I encourage you not to become discouraged, but to take heart. It is already a sign of wisdom that we've recognized our own weakness. We've recognized our own inability. We've recognized our own lack of love. And I wish that that could be the spur, the incentive, the goal that is going to kickstart us and to begin to pray with St. Augustine, I have loved thee late, my God, but I love you now, and I want to love you more and more every day. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendet super vos, et mani et semper. Amen.